Believe it or not, if you are empathic, being able to discern if what you are feeling belongs to you or to another does require some scrutiny. It's not obvious. On today's episode, especially for empaths, I'll give you three ways to find out, with true stories and real examples, as is always my way on the Own Your Intuition show.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimé Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Welcome, everyone. Today, the topic of our episode is very relative to empaths. Empaths are people who feel the emotions of other people in their own skin as though it is happening to them. They are awash in mirrored neurons. If you don't know, but would like to know if you are empathic, you can download on my website a free guide called 44 Signs You Are an Empath. If you are, the list will sing to you. It also comes with an audio with four antidotes. So there's also something there for you if you discover you are an empath. I'll put a link in the show notes. Or you can find it on my website, aimecartier.com. So today I am speaking to empaths about how to tell if what you are feeling belongs to you or someone else. It's important. One of the many reasons it is important is because you can't actually process any emotions that do not belong to you. It's just not possible, since they don't originate in your body. An empath trying to process someone else's business is like a goldfish in a bowl trying to gulp down or transform what it sees outside the bowl into something nourishing for itself. I'm not saying that you are a goldfish in a bowl. I'm saying it's literally impossible for you to metabolize others' feelings. You can't. Listen to episode 15 of the Own Your Intuition show, entitled Vital Ideas to Help Empaths Through the Holidays, if you would like more on this, what I'm just saying now. In fact, I've got a freebie for you. I call it Easy Listening for Empaths, in which I will point you to all of the Own Your Intuition show episodes with links that will be fodder for understanding your empathic ability. Again, I'll put a link to this in the show notes. If you are empathic and you already know that, wonderful. But the reality is, not all empaths know they are empathic. It took me until I was around 30 to discover this about myself. That's because an empath isn't obvious. I think of us like walking radio receptors. We pick up and broadcast back out of our own body what others around us are feeling. That can be people in close proximity. It can also be the collective, especially if large numbers of people are having a shared experience. But when you are empathic, you feel the things as though they were yours, as though they were happening to you. So understanding if what you are feeling belongs to you or someone else may sound like a no-brainer if you are not empathic, but for an empath, it requires some scrutiny to discover. And you want to do this scrutiny, because if you find yourself stuck in the stew of emotions that don't belong to you, remember, goldfish, or it might be more appropriate to say a goldfish swimming in chunky beef stew, swimming in other people's emotions, which you cannot process, is confusing. It's often debilitating for empaths, especially if they are intense emotions. They can immobilize you and take you right out of your life. The way I break it down for my students, the way I taught myself to discover if it was mine or someone else's, was by asking myself questions. I'm going to share three of those questions with you today. If you'd like more, and certainly if you want tools for managing and protecting your own energy and being able to hear yourself, then you can find out more about my Empath Core Tools program. And if you stick around to the end of the episode, you'll hear about a discount that is my gift to you this month. So here we go. Usually I start out with this question. Was I having this thought or feeling before? If you are having or have just had a conversation with or maybe walked by someone who is very distraught, for example, and you find yourself walking away from the conversation with that same feeling of distress, ask yourself about the mental state you were in before the conversation. The best example I have of this happened when my daughter was about 3 years old. I was standing in the kitchen doing something when suddenly she got super upset about a barrette that was in her hair. She was trying to get it out and couldn't. She was freaking out as only a toddler can do with few words and a lot of emotion. As I started walking toward her, I found myself getting really frustrated. It made me suspicious. So I checked in with myself. Wait, was I feeling like this before? Maybe I was already upset about something, and so this feeling was mine. When I was able to clearly answer, no, I was standing by the stove, perfectly content, that's when I realized I was picking up her frustration in my body. I double-checked in with myself. Am I upset about this? When the answer came again, no, she's upset. That's not me. I immediately cleared my energy and set my boundary, which is something I teach in my Empath Core Tools program. By doing so, I was able to return to myself quickly. My 40-something-year-old woman self, who was not in any way upset about a barrette, let me tell you, it was a lot more effective to be that, just me, than to feel like both a 3-year-old throwing a tantrum and a calm adult at the same time. The two were at odds. In this case, doing so had the further benefit of allowing me to aid her from a place of calm equilibrium instead of the place of frantic frustration that she was in. And she was able to have her own feelings without me trying to manage them. Being able to separate your feelings from other is often really helpful, not only for you, but also for the other person. It allows you to not only stay in your own experience, but also give the other person the freedom to do the same. I didn't try to change my daughter's perspective in order to make myself feel better. I just allowed her to be her and me to be me. Well, and I got the bread out. If you were previously agitated, it's possible the interaction that you just had is heightening your own experience, and it may be a combination of the two of you. And I'll give you an example of that as well in a little bit. In the meantime, this is Aimée Cartier, and you are listening to the Own Your Intuition show, radio show and podcast. And today we are exploring a topic of vital importance to empaths: how to tell if what you are feeling belongs to you. The next question I ask myself, I might ask myself, I don't necessarily ask everyone all the time. Is there anything that just happened to me personally that would trigger this emotion or sensation? If the answer is yes, then you know it is yours. If you can't pinpoint it to something that just happened to you, then it's likely that you are picking it up from elsewhere. You may pick up sensations from somewhere else and translate it into your own thought pattern. But if you can't determine what just triggered it, it's likely not your feeling to begin with. Let me give you some examples. For example, in 2006, when the housing market crashed and everything went to shambles overnight, I didn't know it. I was going about my life, doing what I do. I hadn't heard any news that day. The day it happened, I remember feeling on and off nauseous, but I really couldn't attribute it to anything. Like, I hadn't eaten anything unusual, and despite this feeling, I didn't have the sense that I was actually getting sick. I had this weird sense of disassociation almost with the sensation. Like, I could feel it, but I found it more curious than alarming. It came and went, so I just rolled with it, noticing it, but not giving it much real thought time. By the following evening, I was sitting on my porch outside, still not having heard any news, when I noticed that my thoughts had amped up into a frightened, frantic pattern. But as I scanned my day, I couldn't identify a single thing that had happened to me that day or the day before to make me feel shaky, in danger, or unsupported in a way that aligned with the way that my thoughts were acting. Everything in my life was the same as the day before. By that time, I already knew enough about my own empathic ability to just let it ride without getting freaked out about it, since I could identify no obvious cause of a scare. It was just very clear to me that this wasn't me. I understood that although I didn't know what was happening, I was picking up something outside of myself, and it was strong. What I didn't know was that at that moment, thousands, perhaps millions of people all over this country were freaking out in a scared panic about their futures. The fear was real. It just wasn't mine. The thoughts I was having didn't subside immediately once I understood they didn't belong to me. They actually continued more or less for the rest of the evening, but I was no longer identifying with their cadence. In my bones, I knew that I had nothing to fear, that I was just picking up a vibration from somewhere. I couldn't identify any action to do either, since I wasn't clear on from where the source of this fear was coming. So I just cleared my energetic space, which again, I teach you to do in my Empath Core Tools program. And I taught my students for years. I asked for help from my ethereal guides and I went to bed. The following day, I heard what had happened with the stock market and immediately I knew what had been causing my experience. I had been picking up on the collective fear that as more and more details were revealed, had people all over this country and around the world feeling very unstable, unsupported, and afraid. Once I identified its source, the feeling dissipated and did not return. Another less dramatic experience happened to one of my students while she was taking my Empath Intuition University course, which I no longer teach, but I've distilled the essentials into my Empath Core Tools, which you can get on demand. She told our class a story of being at the grocery store and suddenly experiencing this intense and dramatic anxiety that seemed to come out of nowhere. When she felt it, she started to worry immediately about her son and something that he was dealing with. She was confused about it and asked about it in class because she couldn't figure out if it was her worrying about her son or something she was picking up from somewhere else. Because in answer to the question, did anything just happen to me personally to trigger this thought or emotion, she got a no. And yet her mind was suddenly thinking about a very real worry she did have over her son. I love this example because it shows you what usually happens in your brain when what you are experiencing is something you picked up outside of yourself. When I first recognized those fearful thoughts that night in 2006, they weren't about other people. They were about me and my life. Your brain doesn't place it in the context of outside of myself category when you are picking up other people's emotions. That's the difficulty of being empathic. You don't think, oh, that person is afraid. You think, I feel afraid. My student was likely picking up something that she came across in the grocery store and her brain was trying to place it. What am I worried about? In that time of her life, whatever was going on with her son was of concern. So her brain started logging that as the issue. However, the feeling came on suddenly while she was doing something unrelated to her son. She wasn't with her son. Nothing in the grocery store had reminded her of her current dilemma with her son. She was thinking of her grocery list. She simply got a whiff of an intense emotion, so to speak, and started to play it out. Her mind searching for where that intensity or worry could belong in her life. Do you see what I mean here? That's why this question is one of my favorites. If you can't identify something that just happened to you to cause the sensation or thought, then it is likely that you are picking up on something that originates outside of yourself. Never mind that your brain is trying to place it in the context of your own concerns. There are ways to clear and create a boundary. And again, Empath Core Tools. I'm not trying to be a broken record here. It just comes to the same conclusion every time for me. So there's that. And if not, if you discover there is something, for example, then you are suddenly worried and then you deal with that. Get it? Okay. Another good defining example came from a woman in one of my day workshops who heard this question, is there anything that just happened to me personally that would trigger this emotion or sensation? Then she asked me about a situation at work. people would say things at her staff meetings that would immediately activate her and make her furious. She wondered if she was picking up the emotions of others around the boardroom table because the emotions were so strong for her. When telling me about it, she described the comments as sexist. I asked her, "Do those remarks make you angry?" She responded, "Affirmative." Well, then, that's your own emotions. It's possible she wasn't the only one feeling this, and she may have been picking up others having a similar experience as well. But from her description, it sounded like what she heard activated her intensely. Or in other words, something had just happened to elicit this intense emotion in her. In this example, it wasn't a case of just picking something outside of herself up that was creating a sudden intensity and a sharp shift in her emotions. It was her having her own intense feelings. That happens. I like this example because it shows that being able to define what feelings originate from outside of yourself doesn't mean that all of your quote bad or strong feelings go away. It just means that you are able to accurately delineate where the feeling is coming from. It also gives you a point of action. If they do belong to you, then, like I said to the woman in my class, you get to decide what to do about them. Understanding that she feels what is being said is wrong or unfair in some way gives her the ability to make a choice about what, if anything, she is going to do about it. She gets to own the feelings and make some decisions about what actions to take. The opposite is true if you discover the feelings do not belong to you. As I've already said, if the feeling does not originate in you, by and large, the action points are not yours to take. Okay, again, this is Aimé Cartier, and we are diving in depth into skills for empathic beings today. So, if you are empathic and you are trying to discover if what you feel belongs to you or is coming from elsewhere, the next and the last question that you might ask yourself, the last question that I'm going to share with you today, I should say, not the last question, there are others. But the last one that we're going to talk about right now is the question, does this seem like me? Seriously, sometimes what is happening inside of you is just not like you at all. For example, I think I may have mentioned this at some point in one of my episodes, who knows, but I do not enjoy cooking. Like if I don't ever have to cook for the rest of my life, I would be over the moon. That's how much I don't love it. However, I remember one time sitting next to my sister, who happens to love cooking, while she was perusing a cookbook. She was excitedly reading out some of the different recipes when I caught myself thinking, "Ooh, that sounds fun." Now, I can tell you that is not me. That was me sitting next to someone who is excited about cooking. I was picking up her enthusiasm. I was feeling it in my own skin, like we empaths do. And for one hot second, I thought it sounded like fun to try this very complicated recipe that in all other moments of my life would feel like hell to me. I remember walking out of the room and sort of shaking myself and laughing as I thought of me thinking that baking that complicated recipe sounded like a good idea. Another great example came from one of my students. She told us a story in class about how her and her best friend had recently went to a talk on voter discrimination. She described how the talk was very moving and how she left it with this strong feeling that maybe she should go into law and study voters' rights. She told us how for about 45 minutes, she was so distraught at home because she was wondering if she had made a lot of really wrong choices in her life, leading her to where she was now when she should have been studying law. That's when it all dawned on her. Now, let me tell you that my student was and still is a farmer. Her passion is the earth, plants, and seed saving in particular. However, she had just been sitting next to her best friend who was in law school and who had been getting all kinds of jived about the talk and who furthermore had been, while there, getting more and more clarity and confirmation about the direction she already knew she wanted to take her law degree into. My student, the farmer, now sitting at home, doubting herself, remembered the question, "Does this seem like me?" And of course, it was a resounding no. Though interested in the justice of it all, she was not drawn to a life of law. When she told us in class, she was sort of kicking herself for how long it took her to remember this when she got home. Then she said, "But seriously, you guys, it would have taken me days to come to this conclusion without these tools, and it would have been such an agonizing process of doubting and thinking it all through and wondering if I needed to completely change directions." She said, "I've done it before." So you see, in the end, even she recognized that 45 minutes was nothing. We all agreed that it was a huge victory, being able to discern that the feeling she was having did not actually belong to her, that she was a seed farmer and her best friend was a lawyer. I could go on and on here with examples, like the time one of my students discovered that this fear of flying she had developed was not actually hers at all. It was her husband, not her, who was feeling afraid of air travel. Asking this question, she got reacquainted with the fact that for most of her life, she had loved adventure and travel, and this sensation didn't belong to her at all. Suddenly, the world was her oyster again. Or my student who was like, "So that's why I always have so much energy for hiking when I am with my brother." Do you get it? If you are not empathic, this just may all sound crazy. Maybe not crazy, but I don't know another way to put it. If you are empathic, this is very pertinent to your life, understanding and knowing whether what you are feeling belongs to you. And as I said, in the past, I literally taught a 7-month program, not just on, this was just one topic that we delve into in one of our classes, and I'm giving you a snippet of what was in that class. But it's very real and true, and especially in today's world, it is vital to know when there are a lot of distresses going on, when there is a lot of things on fire all over, you must know whether what you are feeling belongs to you, because that's the space where there is an action point for you, if it belongs to you. If it does not belong to you, then just like my situation in the 2006 housing crash, maybe you'll still feel it for a bit, but at least you'll be able to know, this isn't me. I don't know where this is coming from, but this isn't me. And then you can go about your life as though the feeling is not yours. which is what I did that evening when I realized, well, I don't know where it's coming from, but you know what? I'm okay. I don't have to panic about the state of my safety right now. I can actually just brew a cup of tea, go to bed, and be okay. All right. So as an empath, you can feel what it is like to be another person. In fact, like the example between me and my sister, for a time, my internal experience was reflecting that of another, not my own. Or like my farmer student who suddenly felt what it was like to want to study law. This is, in a nutshell, the nature of being empathic. It's actually a huge perk, and it is good for so many things, not the least of which is a fundamental understanding that we are all connected, that the treatment of others does affect ourselves and all of the ramifications that this implies. In any case, in my experience, to get to the juicy bits of being empathic, to enjoy it and see it as the gift it is, you have to first know how to manage it. This is exactly what I teach you in my Empath Core Tools program, the on-demand one. So if you are tired of being awash in the drama of the world or having it swallow you instead of rightfully mobilize you, if you have a hand in helping, then, hey, Empath Core Tools. Check it out, aimeecartier.com/ECT. I usually think of November as Empath Month. It's just my own private association, really. It's not a holiday, but it would be great if it was Worldwide Empath Day, where empaths can get the tools they need to be present in their own lives and take their own guided, rightful actions instead of just being swamped by everyone else's business all the time or moving to the beat of what the person next to them thinks or feels instead of answering their own life's vital calls. The reason I think of this month as Empath Month is because the holidays can often be kind of intense for empaths, because the holidays are intense for a lot of people. So as an empath, you want tools to protect your energy. If you are interested in learning them from me, I've already suggested probably many times today what you can do. If you are not, that is totally fine too. And what I want to say is that, first of all, understanding you are an empath is going to make a huge difference in your life. And I've already mentioned a free download you can get if you don't know and you want to. And second of all, being able to discern if what you are feeling belongs to you or belongs to others will go a long way in helping you navigate and understand the perfect actions for you and your life. Okay, friends, empathic loves, I hope this was helpful. I would love to hear from you. And just wishing you all the goodness. See you next time. This is Aimee Cartier, and you have been listening to the Own Your Intuition Show. I am glad you tune in. Empath, I seriously hope this episode will help you navigate the holidays and global catastrophes with more aplomb. Share it with your empathic friends and loved ones. If you need it, if you feel financially stretched right now, for example, but would like these tools for this month, my gift to you is $100 off of my Empath Core Tools program. You will find a link for this in the show notes, or you can go to aimeecartier.com/ECT to check it out. But you have to use the link in the show notes to get the $100 off. Either way, I am sending you so much love and understanding as you move through this beautiful, if sometimes fraught, world.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.